This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we're continuing to spite weird behavior, extraterrestrial behavior on the part of Skype, where the conversation continued for you, ladies and gentlemen, but I was completely cut off.
Oh, why doesn't that surprise me?
It doesn't. Why don't we pick up where we left off, Chris?
Well, you know, this whole idea of whistleblowers and a lot of anecdotal claims. I mean, for every claim that's out there, I wish I had $100. I'd be really wealthy right now. I have not seen anything that supports any of these claims. Bob Lazar onwards. You know, people talk about Ben Rich saying, oh, we have the technology to take E.T. home. Where's the recording of that? I mean, I believe Jan Harzen when he says, hey, I was there, and I actually questioned him later. But, you know, this stuff... I'm really into the mythology and the mythologizing of this stuff and how memes are created. And, you know, when I hear about Corey Good and David Wilcock being P.T. Barnum or this Corey Good character, or going back Dan Burrish and Pete Peterson, and, you know, I could go down a whole list of names. And, you know, to be honest, Preston, I think it's all a bunch of BS. I really do. Nobody has any evidence to back it up. We hear the same meme being propagated, and then little bits are being added on, whether it's Len Kasten in the Serpo book, or whether it's, you know, the latest, you know, Project Camelot bunk that comes along about every 4 or 5 months. You know, you say hundreds of people with impeccable credentials have come forward with evidence to support the assertion that we have back-engineered UFOs and that aliens are here. Why don't we have anything solid that we could take to New York Times or something?
It's frustrating, and I hate it. I totally agree with you. It's kind of ironic. Here we have an opportunity.
It's not ironic. It's by design, don't you think?
The irony is we have these crashed disks, and we have – it's the best evidence you could possibly get. And where's the evidence for these stories? There's, like you say, no physical evidence.
You just said we have these crashed disks. Where's the evidence that we have them?
Let me start with Roswell. It's got a lot of witnesses. It's almost impossible to just debunk that case. And it's just
one. We have a wreckage. We don't have a disk.
Well, we certainly have a number of eyewitness testimonies that are pointing to this. And what I find very interesting is, you know, most people think, oh, there's Roswell, you know, there's Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, Aztec, New Mexico, and Paradise Valley, Arizona.
Don't get Gene started on Aztec, because we've got some real serious problems with Aztec.
There are these, not just one or two of these things. These are being reported by all over the United States and across the world. So if there's one or two or three of these stories, but the fact is, this is coming out of the woodwork. No, we don't have the evidence. It's apparently being covered up. That's what the testimony is showing us. But to ignore these eyewitness testimonies, I don't think that that's going to...
You know, like someone like an Anthony Sanchez, who's a fellow Californian, I think from the San Francisco area or Sacramento area, he comes up with this claim that he's got a Colonel X who has the story of how they found the alien base at Dulce, and how there was functioning technology left behind, and how Colonel X can't come forward because he's in fear of his life or whatever the drama is. And when Sanchez is asked to produce the DD-214 military separation document, the document that he produces that was checked out by investigators and researchers was presented to the San Francisco office where these documents originate. And they said, we want to know who this person is because this is fraudulent. It is not something that we came up with, and this is a federal crime. And yet this guy is going to be speaking next week to the Hickory Apache at Dulce. I mean, this is the kind of cultural meme propagation that I kind of referred to, you know, towards the beginning of the of the segment here and of the show. But a lot of rumors and innuendo and tall tales don't make reality. And as far as I'm concerned, until we have some sort of Doubting Thomas quality, let me stick my fingers in the rivet, you know, hole and kick some tires here, I don't believe any of it. I think it's all a bunch of meme propagation and cultural programming. I really don't.
I think the evidence proving the reality of UFOs is in the public arena, and it's absolutely conclusive. It not only
I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that there's not a real phenomenon going on. But in terms of our government or our military having actual physical evidence and proof of that, until we see some sort of indication that that is a reality, we have to assume that it's equivocal at this point. There is no slam dunk, unequivocal evidence that we have any sort of technology or hardware from any sort of extraterrestrial source. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. If you can come up with a single piece of evidence, one, just one.
Right, just one little ashtray would be all I needed. We do have it. It's not in the public arena. That's my answer, and I'm sticking to it.
We, first of all, who is we?
It's some aspect of the government. I don't think it's necessarily the senators and governors and things like this, but I think the higher echelons of the Navy and the Army certainly seem to be in the know with this. I think this whole situation is extremely volatile. There is an active cover-up. I mean, it's demonstrable. As I was saying, I think the Air Force has really bungled the situation. I mean, there's case after case after case where they have tried to debunk cases, ridiculed witnesses, issued contradictory statements. Jalen Hynek himself said that the whole project of Blue Book was not even interested in the more legitimate cases and would pay more attention to prosaic cases involving Venus or shooting stars. So, I mean, there is a cover-up. There's no doubt about it. The evidence is pointing towards the fact that we do have these saucers. I totally agree with you that there's no physical evidence supporting this. But at some point, the eyewitness testimonies stack up to a degree that it's mountainous. And you have to say, what are we going to do with this? What does this mean? I think that we're doing the best we can to try and end this cover-up, but apparently this subject is extremely sensitive, and they're putting a lot of effort into preventing people from getting physical evidence.
Well, I don't know. I just go back to John Alexander's book, UFOs, that came out about 3 years ago. Not that I believe everything that John Alexander has to say. I mean, a good friend of his is Michael Aquino, so I rest my case. But, you know, there is something to be said for the argument that they found out that this particular phenomenon was nothing that they could really have any effect on. It operated totally outside of any sort of parameters of control, which is what the government's all about, control. And yet it did not really pose what was determined to be a national security concern, which, if you believe, you know, people like Bob Salas and Robert Hastings, shutting down nuclear missile sites, so that would be a national security concern. But the official Blue Book explanation was, hey, this isn't something that we're worried about, so, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Now, whether that is true or not, I don't believe it to be true, but if that is the attitude, then, or the culture, I should say, then you would think someone like a John Alexander or people within the military-industrial complex, especially in aerospace, would have come forward now with some really good smoking gun evidence. All we have is Bob Lazar, some weird ghost-written statements by Philip Corso. And everything that's come out that may have some relevance to it is tainted. There's nothing really concrete. We don't have that smoking gun individual or evidence or document that really does totally blow this thing wide open. And I don't think that's for lack of trying, and I don't think it's by accident.
Let's do our break. We've got Preston Dennett debating Chris O'Brien, I think. With Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care, as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims, we just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Ah, this is a debate. I'm just going to be the fly in the wall.
I don't want to turn this into a debate.
You already did. Just go proceed.
Well, I'm tired. I'm tired of there not being any good, irrefutable, unequivocal evidence. All we have is a bunch of hearsay and anecdotal, you know, people saying, well, I, you know, was involved in this and I saw that. But they can't back those assertions up.
Well, there are cases where there's with radar evidence. Finally, the Washington, D.C. radar evidence, that came out.
Right.
Evidence for the
there is a phenomenon. I will be the first to admit that. I have seen them with my own eyes. I videotaped them. I've gotten good videotape, actually. But whether the government is back engineering technology and hardware, and whether, you know, of course, there's the argument, well, if you showed a cell phone to someone back in the 1900s, they would have a hard time with it, too. And I agree that they probably, if they do, and this is a big if they do have the technology, they don't know their butts from a hole in the ground on how to deal with it or how to figure it out. I mean, that would be my guess. And so that makes government embarrassed. And when governments get embarrassed, they go into denial, which ain't only a river in Egypt.
Well, if this is true, you know, that the government does have this stuff and is reverse engineering it, it's going to come out sooner or later. I can't imagine that it would be covered up forever, and it seems like we're trending towards that, and that there are more and more people, you know, who say that they've been involved in this sort of thing. So it should be interesting to see what happens. I'm not sure that the government is going to come clean, you know, easily. It's probably going to be done kicking and screaming. But we'll see what happens. I don't think the UFOs are going to go away. We're going to have a UFO incident that's going to be undeniable, like the Phoenix flights, but, you know, beyond that.
You know, we've been dreaming for that for so many years. And I don't want to sound like I'm old and jaded, but I'm old. So that makes me jaded. So the thing is here, we've been hearing this dream of disclosure. We've been hearing these expectations that the government knows something. And certainly if there was a crash at Roswell, New Mexico, as claimed, that involved a spaceship, involved E.T., there would be advanced technology. But then, you know, with that old argument again, what would they do with it until they can decode it? If we're talking about a civilization that's 500 or 1,000 years ahead of us, will they just be able to scrape the edges of that technology? What would they learn? And where is the evidence of it? I don't think that Philip Corso represents anything that's particularly factual there. I think there's something going on with the story because we're talking about somebody who had a distinguished record. But he certainly wasn't the bag man for secret alien technology that he brought to private industry. That doesn't even make sense.
No, I'd find it hard to believe it was just one person. But what's interesting about Corso is no one has really been able to debunk his story. Whether it's true or not, you know, we don't know. I imagine there's a lot of other guys like him who are holding on to secrets like this.
Well, I beg to differ with you on debunking Corso's story. Quite a number of details, you know, who, what, where, and when, didn't add up when people really dug into it and checked it out. For instance, the Fort Riley conundrum. There is plenty to scratch your head about with Corso. That's after you factor out Bill Burns' obvious involvement. Open Minds actually released and published Corso's original manuscript.
Yeah, you know, there definitely are some questions about the story, but I'm talking about his credentials. This is obviously some guy who was in high levels of government.
Oh, no, there's even question about that. He claimed he was a member of the National Security Council, or the Joint Chiefs or something. No, he was caught embellishing his position within the command and control structure. I disagree with you there. I don't remember the exact details, but he named himself something that he was not.
Yeah, well, I think the evidence for UFO crashes is not conclusive enough. I mean, we don't have the physical evidence, the craft in the public arena.
And you won't.
Not for a while, I don't think, but I think it's coming.
All right, okay, so let's look at that. Roswell, I guess we can debate different conclusions, but I'll grant possibly it was a spaceship. Do you believe in Aztec or any other cases in terms of a crashed UFO?
I think that the Kecksburg, Pennsylvania case is very interesting. It's got a lot of witnesses. I think that the Aztec case, yeah, is definitely one of the earliest cases we heard about. And has a number of witnesses. The Ramsey's book, I find, you know, I read it. It's pretty interesting.
We had the Ramsey's on the PowerCast. And I've read the first book, and there's a second edition, but I can't get Scott, to tell me what's been changed from first to second edition. I read the first part. It sounded the same. And I'll tell you, when you look through it, there are very, very few direct witnesses to anything happening in Aztec, New Mexico. The local population doesn't know anything about it. There's an engineer that Kevin Randall has been in touch with, and if you check Kevin Randall's blog, you can find his writings. And there really isn't anything that solid about Aztec at all. And it's troubling that we had two people who were considered to be con men running around in the late 40s who fed the story to a gossip columnist, Frank Scully. With Roswell, at least something crashed. We can debate what it was. And certainly it seems to be possibly more than a balloon.
There's no evidence prior to Scully.
Exactly. There was no story prior to Scully at all. And I will tell you very honestly, I think Scott Ramsey has been perfectly sincere about investigating this case. And he spent a lot of time, and supposedly he spent a lot of money. In fact, he gave Paul Kimball a lot of money to make a documentary about it, to film a documentary about it. But I have to tell you, I don't see the threads there that show anything happened at all that would be unusual. And you can disagree with me, Preston, but I think really if you look at it carefully, it's smoke and mirrors.
Well, I disagree. I mean, I think there are a number of researchers who do support the Aztec case and other cases like it. I mean, if you take out one case, there's still so many others. That's the thing. When I started writing this UFOs over various states series, I really did not expect to find UFO crashes in pretty much every state, but that's what's happening.
Well, okay. So let's bring that up. You mentioned UFO crashes in a lot of states. Other than the ones we talk about in New Mexico, other than what might have happened in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, in the United States of America, is there a significant UFO crash anywhere else? And can you tell us the story? Before we do that, though, let me remind you to check the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. We have the After the Paracast podcast, the ad-free version of this show, and more. Plus.theparacast.com. We have Preston Dennett in the hot seat, I think. with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Join me, George Norrie, at Joshua Tree, California, June 3rd through the 6th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, a weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. Featuring Graham Hancock, Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and Eric Von Doniken, and so many more. For information, go to contactinthedesert.com, contactinthedesert.com, or 760-365-8371.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add NewHarvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
All right, listen up, because this is the most important thing you're going to hear all day. What if I said you could make money flipping houses without any cash, credit, or manual labor? And what if I said you could do it part-time from the comfort of your home? Sound unflippin' believable? Hi, I'm Preston Neely, and I'm going to prove it by sending you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It sells online for $19.95, but I'm giving away free copies this week. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-959-9582. I used to be so broke, I had my electricity shut off 9 times. But I figured out a simple way to make money flipping houses without even breaking a sweat. Now I'm living the good life, and so should you. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. Hands down, it's the fastest, easiest way to get started in real estate. Let me prove it. Call right now to find out how to get your free book. When they're gone, they're gone. Call 1-800-959-9582. 1-800-959-9582.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Oh, the hot seat occupied by Chris O'Connor.
Well, I don't, you know, Preston, look, I don't want to come across like I'm dogging you or I'm getting on your case. I really admire your work, and I'm very impressed with you, a researcher and investigator. I just get so frustrated that it comes across like badgering or you know, I've been accused of many things on the show. But
and some of that stuff violates every known language on Earth. Go ahead, Chris.
Don't take any of this personally. Just take it as frustration and as rhetorical questions. How about that?
No, totally fine. I get it. I understand your frustrations. I mean, no, there aren't a lot of great cases. I think another really good one is the Las Vegas UFO crash of, I believe it was 1962, which I find a very interesting case because this was an object that was seen by a lot of different people across the United States. It came, I believe, was seen by witnesses in New York, straight down, was tracked by several different Air Force bases, actually ended up landing in Utah, causing a power outage, took off again and exploded north of Las Vegas. Pretty good case. A lot of eyewitnesses. But no, where's the craft? I totally agree with you.
North of Las Vegas, so it happened to just crash in Nellis?
Well, near that area, yeah, absolutely.
The what are the odds?
Area 51 thing, that's a story in itself. I mean,
this goes back to a book from Frank Edwards. He was a radio commentator. Book called Strange World, and I knew Frank Edwards very slightly. He didn't have a very long life. He wasn't a super healthy guy. But a lot of the story emerged from his book about what went on there. Okay, so people saw something, but we don't know who, if anyone, picked up a UFO and took it away, do we?
Well, I mean, it was investigated by Air Force Project Blue Book. Dallin Hynek was part of that, and it did cause waves within the military, certainly, we know that. There are articles about it and things like this. It's not just Edward's word by any means.
No, Kevin Randall had a chapter on the subject that's posted online. In the end, what did the Air Force conclude about it?
As I recall, they issued contradictory explanations, though the official Blue Book explanation in the end was meteor, which I find absolutely ridiculous, because this thing turned, it slowed down, it landed, it took off again. It's clearly not a meteor. I mean,
it was a drunk meteor. That's why I was doing that.
A meteor on a mission.
It was way too slow. It was tracked, I believe, at around 4,500 miles per hour, which is far too slow for a meteor. And they were chasing the darn thing.
So what ended up, what happened with it after all this?
Well, reportedly, I believe it was Randall who said he talked to witnesses who were there on the scene and picked it up in their alien bodies and the whole deal. And they were carted off to nobody knows where. Wright-Patterson, Area 51, we don't know.
Man, there's got to be quite a repository of bodies somewhere if all these stories, or even some of them are true.
Well, if that one went to Area 51, it was right there. It didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this stuff is busted wide open one day. I don't know. I mean, if you're looking at various Air Force bases, you can see that they're definitely UFO magnets. Just going back to the book Clear Intent, which covers, you know, a half dozen or more cases of these UFOs hovering over military bases and raising havoc. And the Edwards Air Force Base story stretches back to the 1940s and continues today, where these objects are being seen over the base, causing complete chaos, hovering for hours at a time, even landing at one point, as Gordon Cooper, our astronaut, said that he saw a film of. So definitely there's something going on there.
Well, I'll grant that a lot of strange things are going on there, and we need to pursue it. But before we go much further, I'd love to pursue this book of yours, because we've done half the show and we haven't even discussed it. It's called Not From Here, Selected UFO Articles. In any case, and you have some unusual chapter titles here that I really wanted to discuss here and kind of get your basis for them, and we can go on. And that is with regard to the first article. And I don't know, you know, how you pick these articles for this. Were they written strictly for this book or just something you had written elsewhere and you felt they were appropriate?
Yeah, these were articles I'd written for magazines over the years. And having written a number of books, I realized that a lot of my research, you know, had been published in these magazines, was available for about a month and then gone. So I started going through them, picking out some of my favorite ones, updating them, and put together this book, yeah.
All right, let's go to the first one. And this is where there's a lot of dispute about authenticity. Conversations with extraterrestrials. And over the years, especially since the 1950s, we have people who go around claiming that they have been in touch with E.T. They've met them in the desert. They've channeled them. They've been abducted and had conversations telepathically or otherwise. Amongst these stories, any that you find really credible, worth further study?
Well, all of them I found very interesting. Obviously, I wouldn't have included them. But what I found interesting is by far the majority of cases where people are having contact with ETs, they don't talk. All the witnesses really get is, you know, do not be afraid. We won't hurt you. You know, come with us. And that's often the extent of it. So this is kind of a collection of cases where people got a little bit more than that. Sometimes not much more. I mean, a good case example is Travis Walton. They never talked to him at all. Pretty solid case. But no, he was not able to get a word out of them. For the most part, they're very tight-lipped. So these were cases where they actually gave out some information. One I thought that was really interesting was this family I interviewed here in Southern California who was having visitations by these gray-type ETs. They were very intent on trying to get the daughter to forget. She refused. You know, she absolutely insisted on remembering, and they would argue about this. And they would ask her things about her job and about her relationships, about her work. And she'd answer them, and they would give her little predictions of, like, a raise or something her boyfriend would do. And so she was actually able to talk to these guys, as was her mother.
Did they speak English or communicate telepathically? What?
Almost always it's telepathically. I find it very interesting because I'm like, hey, well, the French ETs, they're speaking French. You know, there's cases where, you know, people are speaking Spanish with these ETs. They pretty much pick up or apparently seem to know the language or are speaking telepathically, and it's understood that way. The Ed Walters case is kind of interesting. They spoke to him in English, but they called him Zijas. Now, Zijas is the Spanish word for eyebrows, and he's got these really pronounced eyebrows. I thought, So there's, I don't know. So, yeah, they do talk to people, but for the most part, they don't. In a number of cases, they give predictions. More often than not, these predictions don't come true. And in a lot of cases, the information they're giving is kind of ludicrous or ridiculous or contradictory, not true.
Go ahead, Chris.
One of my favorites is the Truman Bethram case. Just infinitely fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think he asked him, where do you come from? And he said, oh, from behind the moon or something. Some ludicrous explanation. I remember in one case, these people were actually discussing with these gray-type ETs who actually looked really human. And they asked, you know, why are you landing? And they said, well, we're here to help people, but we can't help people too much. You have to solve your own problems.
And well, at least they're not trying to be like Michael Rennie and They There Stood Still, where he says, you listen to us or we'll blow you up. Got Preston Dennett with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Flockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. FlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at FlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. FlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors not available in all states.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we've got talkative ETs, Press and Dennett. When they make predictions, the predictions don't always tend to be accurate. But isn't that used as evidence that they're not really true?
Is that what's not true?
That I the mean, claims of contacts with ETs are not true based on the fact that they don't tell us anything that indicates advanced technology or knowledge and that the predictions they make tend to be wrong.
Well, that's not always the case. There are a number of cases. I mean, I myself was witness to a UFO that was a predicted sighting. So I know that this can happen.
Well, how was it predicted?
Well, I already told you the story where Wendy, you know, asked to contact the ETs, and they said they'd be there, and they were.
Well, so cooperative.
Yeah, I was amazed, because I've done that before, and it hasn't worked out.
Okay, but when you have situations where the predictions are wrong, and where the claims are wrong, isn't that the case that you should suspect?
Well, you know, it depends. I think you have to take each case individually. There's a lot of red flags I think investigators look for that earlier used to not be well known. Now it's a lot harder because this phenomenon has really been publicized. But it's pretty darn easy to tell when someone's telling the truth, especially when you have multiple witnesses and unless they're, you know, Oscar-winning actors, which is certainly possible.
A lot of tricksterism going on.
Most people don't want to talk about this. They really don't. You have to pull the story out of them. They really don't want to be ridiculed. A lot of them don't want any publicity. I have never accepted any funds in exchange for a UFO story or anything like that. That's just not how it works. People are absolutely relieved to find someone to talk to. I often get a caveat. They say, I'm not on drugs. You know, I've never told this to anybody. I'm well-educated. You're the first person I've spoken to about this. So this sort of thing. People are really nervous. They don't want to be ridiculed.
Yeah, that does kind of add to the believability factor, at least, you know, coming from someone that's interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people out there in the field. That is something that does carry some weight with me when people absolutely just say, look, I just have to tell somebody, and I trust you, please don't, you know, use my name. You know, don't give any indication of who told you this, but, you know, I have to tell somebody.
Yeah, I think people are looking for someone to talk to. I think this phenomenon is a lot more common than people realize. I remember I heard a quote from Jalen Hynek, allegedly, that he said 1 in 40 people have been taken on board or had an onboard experience. And I thought to myself, oh, you're out of your mind. There is no way. That is way too common. This is pretty much when I first started my research. And that's what really got me going. I decided I'm going to ask everyone I know. And I didn't have to ask 50 people. I found 5 or 10 people within my circle of family and friends and coworkers who had had a face-to-face encounter or an onboard experience. So it's much more common, I think, than people realize.
Well, wouldn't that be an indication that possibly we're dealing with something that's, if not as terrestrial as we are, even more terrestrial than we are? Maybe the phenomenon has lived here longer than we have, and maybe the advent of the modern age of UFOs occurred just after we started popping off nuclear weapons. Maybe we have somehow put them in jeopardy because they're sharing the same ecosystem that we are, and some sort of nuclear exchange or nuclear holocaust could be as, you know, catastrophic and detrimental to their well-being as ours. Wouldn't that be an indication that we're dealing with something closer to home?
That would make sense, and I think there's some indication of that. Certainly that's one of the most common messages that people get when they're taken on board. We're talking about abductees and contactees alike. Warnings of nuclear proliferation are right up there at the top of the list.
Well,
alternative sources of energy, that's another one. Healing. But when ETs talk, that's what they're talking about. So, yeah, I think it's entirely possible. I'm not sure that that's what the evidence is really showing us, because we see these ships landing, and then they're taking off, and they're going up into outer space. So they're, I don't know. There are cases where people have seen them going into the ocean. Certainly, I've done a lot of research on that recently.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the big supposed entrance that's right off Santa Monica. Kind of in your neck of the woods. I seem to recall reading an article a couple of years back where you were commenting on some Google ocean images that surfaced on the net. What do you think about that whole idea of a sub-oceanic or subterranean possible entities or intelligences?
Yeah, I'm neck deep in researching that right now. It all started pretty early on when I was getting ocean-going UFO accounts, which I didn't, you know, really pay much attention to more than the others, because UFOs are seen everywhere. But I put a chapter in my book, UFOs Over California, about this. And that caught the attention of the History Channel. I went on Deep Sea UFOs 1 and 2, and this brought in a flood of reports. I ended up writing an article for Fate magazine with the title, Is There an Undersea UFO Base Off the California Coast?
I think that's what I read.
Yeah, because by then I had 50 reports, at least, of these objects coming in and out, and some abduction cases where people were not being taken inside UFOs, but into what appeared to be an underground base of some kind. That was basically the gist of the article, and really caused a lot of attention. Then those Google images came out, and it was pretty much precisely where the center of all this activity is. I've been getting a flood of reports since then. And, yeah, I think there's definitely something going on there. I'm not sure exactly what. There's either an undersea base or a parking lot involving hundreds of UFOs.
Well, we got Catalina, too. There's been reports for decades of objects going into and coming out of the ocean there off of Catalina.
Yeah, some really amazing cases. I just found out of a case involving a group of Boy Scouts. This is back in the 50s, who all saw this object. And because I found that very interesting, because a couple of years ago I interviewed this other Boy Scout who was there with his friends, and he and they saw not one or two objects, not 10 or 20, but literally, you know, dozens upon dozens of these objects. So there's a lot of activity there for sure.
I wanted to bring up this next chapter you have in your book, because it kind of relates conversations with ET, conversations with extraterrestrials, and that's phone call from an alien. So I hear my phone ring, my iPhone ring, which of course plays Hello Goodbye by the Beatles is the ringtone. I pick it up and say, hello, may I help you, or something like that. And someone says, this is E.T. What's really going on, seriously?
Yeah, this is a bizarre phenomenon, and it really surprised me. As I'm sure you know, UFOs do have a sort of a tendency to defect electromagnetic equipment of all kinds. I mean, not only stopping cars on the highway, but fuzzing up radios or televisions and things like this. And apparently there's this whole group of cases, this sort of genre of cases, where people are claiming to be contacted through the phone. Now, I know how this sounds, but we are getting cases from, you know, major researchers like John Keel, Ray Fowler, and others. Whitley Strieber talks about an incident that he had where voices came through his stereo, and he held an actual conversation with these guys. Betty Andreasen, she said she received a series of calls from these ETs who would give her messages.
Well, and then there's the famous phone calls to Philip K. Dick and Jack Sarfati back in the early 50s when they were kids. Metallic Voice would call and communicate with them. And I think there was another several people, too, that were within that same sort of time frame of people that went on to have notable careers.
Yeah, I find it fascinating because every now and then I run into this with the people I'm interviewing. See, it's very interesting because people will say, oh, these calls always come on the same day. And that's what happened to this other guy I was interviewing from upstate New York. He said, you get these weird phone calls where you hear these clicks and buzzes and things like this, and it's always on the same day. And then one day they actually contacted him through his cell phone. He would hear messages in his head saying, we're coming, the time is soon. And very kind of telepathic type of thing. And then this is happening while he's driving on the road, and he's seeing one of these UFOs following him, and his cell phone starts ringing. And he looks at it, it says no answer. And he ignores it, but finally he picks it up, and he answers it.
You know what? Let's break right here and let our listeners figure out what's going to come next. What did he hear? Preston Dennett with Gina and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.